Ready to call the meeting to order?
Great. Roll call, Kyler Brown,
Present.
Commissioner Graham,
Present.
Commissioner Teplunker, and Commissioner Preston, sorry. Commissioner Brangle, Commissioner Walfeld, and we have Katie on Zoom. So we'll need to have a motion in a second to allow her to attend by Zoom.
So moved. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, roll calls through. Space for any public comment, either anything that's been sent in or.
No, nothing's been sent in.
Okay. Any there's some people here present tonight, six more than we usually have. So if we'd like to present anything, you're free to either stand up or go to the podium, whatever is most comfortable. If anyone's looking to speak,
But we
no.
need them on the microphone.
You on the
Okay.
microphone.
We
Oh,
need them on the mic.
well.
So if you please go to the podium if you'd like to speak.
Hello, good evening. My name is Rainier Ramos. I'm representing Mosaic Montessori Academy. It's a Montessori preschool here on Lake Street, on 7970 Lake Street. We have been searching for additional space for our school, and we recently found one late last year on 7777 Lake Street. There's available space there that hasn't been rented out for since 2019. However, this space is not currently allowing either preschools or childcare facilities to lease the space. So we have tried to talk with the village on how to go about requesting for that. And we I think we were here present for the zoning board, and we have requested permission for the owners to be able to lodge an application for permit for special use. So that they can file that. And so once that is approved, then we can move forward with leasing the property.
Makes sense. That's great. Thank you very
Thank
much.
you.
We appreciate it.
You good?
Any other people that would like to make a public comment? Please.
I'm Margie Secunder. I'm referring tonight to item five, I believe it is, which is the commercial district zoning regulations public hearing. I'm sorry, no, confirmation. Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Four, sorry. I want to thank the EDC for improvements that you've made to the meeting process. Historically, a 7:30.
Wait, four or five? Are you looking? Just want to make sure, just so we're clear. Is it concerning the
It's item
child
four.
daycare or the?
It's the next item four, not the item five, confirmation of the next regularly scheduled meeting.
I think.
Oh, I'm sorry, I have the wrong agenda.
No problem. Just want to make sure.
Thank you. Item five, the revised draft commercial zoning district amendments.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm at the right meeting,
Yep,
right?
you are.
Okay,
Yeah,
thank
just.
you. So I did want to thank you all. Historically, the 7:30 a.m. meeting time was inaccessible for many residents, and the meeting minutes were often missing. So I appreciate that you're buttoning up that process. There was a time when a prior EDC chair used his title as to the in a letter to the editor of the Wednesday Journal regarding his child, rather than regarding village business or EDC business. I think some continued improvements could be made, specifically ensuring that the microphone captures the conversations and the roll calls. And that's only occasionally that it's hard to hear. And ensuring the commission's work, its processes, and meetings have residents' best interests at the forefront. In 2023, 8 of the 12 EDC meetings were canceled, one of which was rescheduled. But the December 6th meeting was a key meeting, and that was canceled. In the fall, Mr. Brown, you made comments at either the September or October meeting supporting a non-resident developer of the Lake and Lathrop site who embroiled the village as an interested party in the foreclosure on that site. And in December, that developer filed his own mechanics lien against the village and others. I did not hear support for the residents that are facing potential six-story dense housing in their backyards at Madison Street and North Avenue. Regarding process, where's the data and supporting evidence that River Forest needs higher, denser development in the C1, C2, C3, and Auric districts? I've heard of some anecdotal points from hand-selected prospective developers, some of whom don't fit River Forest goals and objectives, except perhaps to be able to claim development at all costs and to move on from the Lake and Lathrop debacle. Where's the list of those surveyed, all their comments, supporting evidence, and data? In the board packet for November 13th board meeting, John Houseel recommended that height, density, and parking changes be extended to the C3 and Auric districts. There are numerous residences in and adjacent to those districts, like Ashland and Hawthorne. We as a village spent time, energy, and money over a long period to refine our comprehensive plan and zoning to change it. To change it now willy-nilly and move forward and move the focus off Lake and Lathrop. Tonight's agenda lists a possible recommendation to the board with less than 60 days and very little notice. Tomorrow night's ZBA hearing, this is the notice that was put into the paper 5 days before Christmas in the classified section of the Wednesday Journal, mm-hmm. not in the block section that typical. The community has had very little notice to be able to evaluate that. This is not in the residents' best interests. Development doesn't have to be large-scale, dense building in residential neighborhoods. I don't want Oak Park's canyons. It's not who we are, who we've been. It's not what we want. Your processes could focus on empty storefronts, like at Town Center, the Rehab Institute, and the village-owned parking lot, both in the 400 block of Thatcher, or the village-owned lot across the street in the 400 block of Park, or redevelop underutilized properties like the southeast corner of Lake and Thatcher that deliver very modest tax revenue to the community and others. Please don't demand heights and densities in other neighborhoods that you don't want in your own neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you. I didn't understand. Maybe we could talk afterwards so I can make sure it was clear what I said about the developer and the fall meeting. Just, we could talk about it afterwards, but I want to make sure anything I was said is clarified to you personally, as an aside. Okay. Thank you for the public comments. Those are always appreciated. It's good to know what the everyone's thinking, and I do appreciate the time and the effort that people take to come out and give those comments. It's important. The approval from the minutes from October 4th. Is everyone able to review? So if there's a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you, Katie. All right, on to number 4. Discussion and possible recommendation regarding the proposed text amendment for child daycare centers as a special use in C3 Central Commercial Zoning District. So we heard earlier about the Mosaic moving into the Strand building. Before I start, does anyone in the committee have thoughts on this? Actually, Jessica, let me ask it to you. The request now is for us to discuss and possibly recommend to the which board next, the zoning committee?
So what is to be decided tonight is whether or not you would consider a recommendation to the village board to support a text amendment to the current land use chart. Right now, child daycare centers are not allowed. They're prohibited in the C3 district. And so we're asking if you would weigh in on allowing for the land use chart to be updated to allow the special use to be considered.
Okay. Would it be just for that property and that that institution?
No, it would be for the entire C3 district.
Okay.
And it would be all child daycare centers in the C3 district.
Is there any way to do it area specific to one property? Just out of curiosity.
Matt?
I would point out that the text amendment itself would not be specific to a single property, but by the recommended change is to create it to be a special use, which means that the applicant needs to go through a process and a public hearing through the zoning board in regards to specific characteristics of that site, whether it's parking or landscaping or anything else. So it wouldn't just be permitted by right. They come in and say, anyone come in and want to open up a child daycare center, and we give them their ability to operate. Right. There's still a process that the Zoning Board of Appeals would have to review and potentially deny an applicant. So this discussion in itself does not allow Mosaic to operate there. It just enables the ability to apply to operate there. I know it's
any future daycares would have to apply for a special use as well.
Correct. But it would create that pathway to say, we will consider a special use.
And is it just for child daycare centers?
Yes.
So here's the thing that I'm just trying to think through this. I love Mosaic. I mean, I think it's Mosaic. It's a great institution. What happens when someone that we don't know applies for a special use in a property here? Because I think there's a reason that we don't want daycares in the C3. So how do we make sure that if someone else comes in and has a special request, that they can't point to Mosaic and say, look, well, you let Mosaic do the same thing? And that, you know, because I think, well, that it's something to think about. But does anyone else have any thoughts particularly about this and Mosaic and whatnot?
Not the same place. Is there a reason why? Is it just the way precedent, the way it's been done, why child care hasn't been allowed over there?
Right. Matt, do you have any idea? That's a good question.
I know prior to 2019, child daycare centers were not at least listed in the code as permitted to operate anywhere, whether by special use or permitted. This would just be speculation. My guess would be the village wanted to see probably sales tax generating businesses. That would probably be the reason for it. In 2019, the board allowed for this use to take place in PRI districts, which would be most schools and parks and universities in town.
Is Mosaic a 501c3? I mean, is there there wouldn't be tax revenue that'd be generated? I'm sorry.
So we're not talking about the property taxes. We're talking about the properties from the taxes from the business. It would run as a daycare.
Right.
So I do not believe they're subject to taxes. Currently with C3, the designation has always been specialty retail store, office, special uses, and multifamily. So that's why there hasn't been any daycare in that region before.
Having said that, the property's been vacant for many years, and it's a well-known institution, and I would say well-liked institution in the area. I just want to make sure that we don't set it up, because I think that probably is the reason. We don't want there to be daycare centers, you know, every other doorstep on North Avenue, I'm assuming.
Well, if I understood you, Jessica, this just starts the application process.
So this will open the doorway to even allowing the conversation to begin. So kind of to Chairman's point, though, it would allow other people to come in to other vacant spaces in the C3 district and say, I want to open a daycare there too. And because the allowance has moved it from a prohibited thing to an allowed thing for the special use, we would have them go through that process.
But am I looking at the zoning map correctly? C3 appears to only be on Lake Street, North Avenue and others. So it is just that small strip
So we have three commercial areas. C1 is North Avenue, C2 is Madison, and C3 is Lake.
So this would just be for
C3. This would only be for C3.
Mm-hmm. Which is just that small little strip.
Right.
I think Mosaic is a wonderful institution. I have a problem, though. As we heard earlier from the second speaker, we're basically formed to encourage business activities in the community. I mean, that's our charter. When we diminish anything that's in the business areas, we're taking one step backwards. It might sound hard-hearted to Mosaic, but we have a responsibility to the whole village to get some economic activity back in the village, where was recently pointed out, and we all know, a bunch of the vacant spots that need development. The more we take away, even step by step, we diminish our ability to improve the economic status of the village. And that's what this committee is here for. So I have a big problem with approving the concept of moving forward with their request.
And is that partially due to the fact that it's a possible redevelopment area?
The whole thing. I mean, we've got property adjacent, and it's well known that the property, the Strand property, could be involved in other developments. Mm-hmm. I mean, so I don't think I could support their request.
Question.
Yeah, I had a procedural question. How did this request make it to the EDC?
Matt, do you want to answer?
Yeah, sure, I can. That's a great question. The applicants, the representatives from Mosaic, had attended a village board meeting in November, I believe, and asked the village board to kind of kickstart the process for the zoning amendment. Any zoning amendment needs to kind of be requested by the village board. And during that discussion, the village board thought that it would be valuable to have input from the Economic Development Commission, because this was a change to a commercial district, and there might be some opinions like Commissioner Graham shared. So that's it. To get EDC opinion to kind of be brought together with the zoning board recommendation. I will mention that the Zoning Board of Appeals did recommend approval of this text amendment unanimously at their meeting last month. So that will still come to the village board, but any additional feedback, whether it's a conflicting recommendation or any other comments from the EDC, would kind of come forward with that information to the village board in later this month.
Right.
I missed your point about the zoning board. What did the zoning board do?
The zoning board voted unanimously to recommend approval of the text amendment. I will add that they did share some concerns or questions about the specific site in question, but in terms of the text amendment itself, they were comfortable with proceeding with that at this time.
Now, does Mosaic own the building?
No, Strand.
This has been a few years. The last time I looked at the code, it seems like special use permits have to be applied for by the owner of the property or somebody who has some kind of agreement with the property.
Yes, that's true. And that's still the case. Okay. So the property owner would.
My point. Okay. So when it came to the zoning board or the village board, who brought the request? Was it the owners of the Strand property?
The property owner, who's actually represented here tonight, Ariel, came, and just actually that row right there, they all came and spoke to the village board, and she represented that she would be interested in having the special use application.
Okay.
And they understand that they would be submitting it, not Mosaic.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good questions.
Mm-hmm. And would there be any change in property tax kind of revenue?
Because the property would be rented, it would still be the obligation of the owner of the building to pay the property taxes. So the purpose itself would not.
The income taxes.
It's the income tax that, or sales tax that would be impacted.
Sorry, yeah.
I had one more question. Mm-hmm. So you are the owner of the property, or you are representing the owner of the property? And you have did you submit, how do you represent them? So I don't believe an agent has standing to the owner has to be the one that this is the last time I looked at the code. It has to be the owner or a representative of the owner. I don't know what a legal representative of the owner that makes the motion, because any broker can come. They can be.
Commissioner Chabankar, if I
would
if
you
I
mind?
May.
I'm so sorry. Could you go to the microphone? I'm sorry.
Hello, my name is Ariel. I am the representing agent for the property for Strand that we're trying to lease. The application itself will require a letter from the owner, but I am here physically in lieu of him because he is in a nursing home. So he won't be able to attend these meetings, but he has my full backing and support with ownership.
So is there a legal document other than just being a broker? Do you have a legal document? I'm just asking this question because standing is important. I've gone through this before when they were trying to do something with the property on Madison, and clearly anybody was showing up there.
Sure.
I'm a lawyer.
Sure.
When I read the ordinance, there are strict requirements about who can bring a special use permit request. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
And I just want Matt. And I have not looked at it recently. I should look at it again to see what is the status of a broker to make an application for a special use permit.
No, I appreciate you for being super thorough. For here, our purposes of being here is to show support in the suggestion for the application. With the application itself, though, will come from ownership.
Commissioner Chabankar, if I could just...
Yeah, so that's not being obstructive. It's just, it's the wrong applicant. I mean, Jack Strand is the owner. We recognize he's not in good health.
Right.
We know that.
Right.
So
it would seem that the right way to do this, and Matt, you can correct me if I'm wrong, you can talk to your lawyers, but the application has to be made with somebody who has standing to make the application.
We're asking for you to help us in suggesting that we can apply. Yes.
The application will come from an owner or the owner legal representative, whether it be Jack Strand or someone that has a power of attorney.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess then the process should have been started with somebody who had power of attorney. Because at this point, it is what it's you see the quandary I'm in, right?
Yeah, but I wonder if Jack is not able to attend these meetings. So and I don't think we're approving anything here at this point that would suggest that anything that's legally binding or whatnot. At this point, we're having the discussion to see if we should propose and approve further discussion down the road that would allow for the actual applicant to actually apply. I do agree with you. Would it be ideal if we had someone here that was their legal representative? Probably. But I just, under these circumstances, I'm not sure it's needed for our purpose at this point. That'd be my opinion, but I am not a lawyer.
Yes. I mean, I know it's elevating form over function, but that's what process is,
right?
Form over function. So
what part of this aspect would we need to have the actual legal representative? What are we approving that would require to have the legal representative here?
Well, we are making a recommendation to the board. Everything that we do is a recommendation to the board. The board is nothing binds on the board. Same thing with the zoning board. They make a recommendation.
Right.
The best we can do is at least to start off to ensure that we are following the right process, or at least
I agree. I agree, but what part of that process would we not be following now by recommending this without the legal approval of from the actual owner right now in this meeting? What part of the process would not be being followed in that case? If there is one, then I think we should shelve this and have the discussion with the legal owner here. But I'm not sure that there is part of the process that we're not. For that, Matt, maybe you might be able to help. But
yeah, I can. Commissioner Tunkar, you are absolutely right. If we did not have official documentation as part of a special use permit application, we wouldn't even bring it forward to the zoning board. Yeah, we would catch that at a staff level. At this point, this current item before is referencing the text amendment. So it's not specific to this site. I know there's representatives there that are speaking about 7777 Lake Street, but technically the applicant is the village board to make this change to the zoning code. The reason that the special use application hasn't been begun yet or isn't part of this discussion technically is because the potential applicants aren't allowed to apply. So that as part of that special use, they'll need proof of ownership. They'll need floor plans and other things that are going to cost money. So they're waiting to find out that the village board would even allow this by special use. And they,
that makes sense.
And once that is allowed, then they'll come forward with that full packet with legal documentation from the ownership and all the other 9 or 10 requirements of the special use. And then that will be scrutinized at that time. But right now, it's not specific to a site. This is for all C3 districts, which is basically the area from Park to Lathrop, from Lake Street to Hawthorne, and a couple parcels south of the train tracks.
Clarification, Matt. I think that's a really good point, but I think that answers it to a degree, that it's not the property itself.
So if we approve this and the board agrees with us, then does that mean that the entire C3 district is open for special use permits like daycares?
For this explicit purpose of child daycare centers.
But it would have to, people would have to apply for a special use.
Correct.
Right.
They would
apply for special use.
That was my initial question too. Do we just then open the whole C3, which is not all of our commercial districts, it's just here on Lake Street. Do we then open that to anyone being able to make a lease agreement, you know, between landlord and, you know, business that could circumvent a discussion amongst the board or whatnot? And it sounds like it does not do that. I mean, they would still need to come to us. They would still need to apply for a special use permit.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like there'd be a pretty strong precedent.
That's the thing. So that's the thing.
They're applying as long as the form and the format's the same.
Yeah.
To say we're going to allow one and not the other. So it really is probably for all practical purposes,
you know,
particular district.
The other thing,
maybe if before I lose the train of thought, maybe we could make the recommendation. I mean, is it possible to do something for like existing businesses? You know, I'm just trying to think of something, some way we could. I'm inclined to approve it myself or to recommend approval to go on. I appreciate Bob's point very much. And I am concerned about the taxes because that is what we're here to do. I don't know. And I am worried also about other daycares coming in that would use this as a precedent.
The point I was going to make is daycares are required to follow regulation by DCFS. So there is another body that can determine, and they have specific requirements about the condition of the building and the indoor space and the outdoor space. So
with all due respect to DCFS, I mean, I have very close workings with them. There's a lot that least to be desired in terms of, I'm not going to leave it up to DCFS to make sure that the property's taken care of.
No, I'm just saying like,
it can't be willy-nilly.
Correct. Yeah. They couldn't just move into a place in the town center, for example, because they have to have a certain amount of outdoor play space and that's all paved. So
I'm also sympathetic to it's been vacant for 4 years and it's better to have a tenant, better to have activity if there are other kind of vacant properties that
have. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, right? I mean, like, it's right by the school. Someone could drop their kid off. They can go to this school. They got the My Gym right there. They got the other location over here. I mean, it's a great institution. I haven't heard one person
on that block. As far as
that was kind of my question, but I mean, I guess that's not really what we're being asked to do to a degree. You know what I mean? Like,
it's spur.
Yeah.
The less you have, I think it's helpful.
Totally.
To but lease other spaces.
That property, I mean, if we're talking specific about that property, which we're kind of jumping between,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
but that property is, you know, Jack's been not able to lease that up for a while. It's been, you know, it's a great property, but it's been underutilized for sure.
Now, my point was anything could happen, but if there aren't a lot of vacancies, it's less of a concern.
Yeah.
There's going to be a run on daycare centers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm inclined to.
Should we? I don't know if it's a. Go ahead.
A few more follow up questions, Matt, and this is more directed to you. So, thinking ahead, if Mr. Strand or his representative applies for a special use permit and a special use permit is granted, and Mosaic moves in there, and maybe 2 years later, Mosaic decides to move out. What happens with that special use permit?
It's there.
Well,
it's an ordinance.
Matt, you're on mute if you're talking.
Were you not able to hear?
No, he's just muted.
Yeah, I was muted. Sorry. I would have to double check. That's a great question. I believe that the special use would be specific to the applicant that brought it forward. So it. I don't think that would be transferable to another potential child daycare center without having to go through the same application process, but I would have to double check that.
How about if Mr. Strand decides to sell the property to Mosaic, what happens then?
I don't think that there would be, unless there were operational changes, expansion in need in parking spots, there might be other kind of zoning variations that were needed, but I think that would be allowed.
So the special use permit would transfer to Mosaic?
Well, no, it would be, there'd be the.
I think if they expanded their operations, they would probably have to amend their special use to kind of continue.
But if they were to buy the building and be a, they would just have some other entity be the landlord and they would lease it out to the 501c3. So they would keep that particular, you know, corporation as the, you know, the tenant, and that therefore they would still be able to, I'm assuming it would discontinue whatever special agreement that was made, permit.
What we're being asked to recommend or not recommend is the application for the whole district, if they're going to be able to apply,
right,
not a specific.
Yeah, I think it's important to remember that.
Right.
I think this goes back to what the EDC is supposed to do. Right. The concern, well, my one concern, and may not be a concern, is a non-for-profit comes into the building, is not paying property taxes, running a business that they don't pay.
Well, property taxes, oh, no. The landlord would be paying.
They don't generate any revenue or taxable revenue, or don't generate
sales tax.
Yes, no sales tax. The special use permit is then with Mosaic or the party there. Mr. Strand decides to sell the property to Mosaic, the lessee, and now Mosaic now owns the special use permit, and they also own the property, the land, the building. And they tear down the building and say, we're going to expand this and make this whole thing, this whole stretch of land here, into a daycare center. And then so what, we lose all the tax revenue then of the whole block?
Well, so, and again, I'm not an attorney on this, but
I deal with
a ton of real estate. It would be two separate. I would be surprised if the Mosaic itself would be the buyer of the property. It might be, but I'm assuming that the specific, they have to apply for the specific use for a specific part of that property. That would not then be transferable to the entire property, even if they were to buy it. It's not just because they buy it and now it just expands. You know, if I if I have a property on a corner that's whatever has a FAR of like 2.1 and I buy the property next to it that's got a lower FAR, I can't just transfer it. It doesn't just move over to the next property because I own one property. I mean, it would be, yeah, that's a bad example, I suppose. But the fact is, and Matt, you might want to opine on this, but I can't imagine that it would just mean that the whole property then would now have the special use. That's what you're asking, right? Yes, like if they were to buy it. I mean, it's a fair question. I don't think legally it would. I think they'd have to go through this whole process again to get anything changed.
I would have to double check. Oh, go ahead, Katie.
All right. Well, maybe we can just circle back. Katie?
So a couple quick things. We are just right now looking at, do we want to make the text amendment to the C3 district, which is a relatively small district relative to the rest of River Forest. I am on the Economic Development Commission site, just looking at what is our purpose. So quickly, the top two, advise the board on the economic and community impact of potential developments. And two, identify and assess underutilized properties to develop strategies for their highest and best use. So while tax revenue, obviously extremely important, community impact, and as somebody who waited over a year to have quality childcare, there is absolute great community impact in having something like that easily accessible to residents. So I just want to make sure we're clear. There are multiple facets that we're looking at. And then kind of getting back to, if all we are here to do is, are we approving, or we're not even approving, we're just recommending a change to language. Are we ready to go there yet? Are we split? How much more discussion on can right. we change that language?
Well, I'm ready to take a vote. I mean, it doesn't even need to be a all in favor or not. I think I mean, we've had the discussion on it. I think, I mean, is this something that we need to vote on? Because I'm happy to do a vote and then happy to have the vote in with a recommendation or not with comments afterwards by specific committee members.
Yeah, we were going to take a motion for the to make the recommendation.
So before a motion,
yep.
I just want to make certain that all our board members are aware of what we're here for. Lake Street is our biggest economic development area functioning at the moment. And every little inch that you take away from that, it's gone potentially forever. And that's, it's like the forest preserve. You don't give up something once you've got it. You're trying to expand and make that grow. And there's always another location that can be found for a school. I just think we have to look at the really hard, big picture and say, our role is to preserve and increase economic development, not subtract from that product.
And it's a good point. It's not an easy decision.
I mean, it's really not just today. It's next month. It's next year. There's always little requests.
Yeah.
And we either stand by what our charter is, or then we're not functioning as the committee should be functioning.
Well, as Katie mentioned, our charter is we're multitasked here for community benefit, and the argument could be made that there is great community benefit from having that there. Having said that, I think it's one of those situations where there's no wrong answer, there's no right. I mean, there's issues on both sides. I think there's benefits that can be presented for both sides and detractions as well. But I think for the sake of time and our purpose here.
Just one quick question. Is it truly forever? Because it's something that in 2 years from now, economic development's booming, there's a vacancy, we can say that, you know what, we want to kind of reverse the text amendment.
Wow. You want to be the one saying, Mosaic, get out of here?
No, I said.
That's what you would be implying if something like that occurred.
I just said if there's a vacancy, so 2 years they decide to move on.
Well, that's a different that's a different scenario.
And I do appreciate your point, Katie, that it's a very we are just approving a text amendment. What I'm And I, you know, I have nothing for or against Mosaic or whoever's moving in there, but I don't want to be opening a Pandora's box where, you know, 4 years from now, all of that is just, you know, it's not available for economic development. And there's nothing we can do about it.
I see that point loud and clear. I think it's a really good one. And I think it's with what we're tasked, we're actually tasked with multiple things here. And I think approving it and not approving it, it depends on which task we're talking about. We're helping the community, but we are also detracting from its possible revenue. Now, it hasn't been rented since 2019, but I mean, I think, go ahead. You were going to say,
yeah. So even, and Matt, you can explain the process here, but even if we do not recommend that they go forward, they can still take it up with the Board of Trustees, and the Board of Trustees can independently assess the situation.
Yes.
And decide that they want to overrule the EDC and the Zoning Board of Appeals or whoever else is there.
It's not even an overruling. We're just making a recommendation.
Yes. And so I would be inclined to, you know, to say that they should just take it up with the village, with the Board of Trustees, and we should vote no on it. That, you know, appeal our decision and make your case to the Board of Trustees.
So, okay, that's, I appreciate that. I mean, I think regardless of how any vote takes place, I think it should be explained, and obviously in the minutes they'll see, but regardless of the way the vote would take place, that there are detractors for both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And that as far as we're concerned in the Economic Development Committee, one of our main commissions is in fact to, you know, spur economic, get more sales tax and lessen the burden on residents and everything's of that, those nature. So, It is an issue from where we're standing as far as what we're being asked to do. It is contradictory to one of our tenants.
Matt, would you clarify for me, if they want to make a recommendation, we should do a motion, but if they do not want to make a recommendation, then there's no need for a motion.
I think it would be appropriate to, for if there was a prerogative of the board, to make a motion to recommend denial of the text amendment. It still will proceed to the village board because the zoning board has already acted on it. But this is exactly what the discourse I think the board wanted from the EDC. They recognized that although their conversation on it was brief, I think they wanted this perspective on it. And no matter what the final vote was, I think we'll capture this in the summary minutes and kind of have the village board ultimately will make the policy decision on whether they want to kind of weigh whether it's the community benefit or the potential or vacant space versus potential sales tax revenue. So that'll ultimately be up to them. But I think that this will be very helpful points for them to consider when they can take it on.
Well, then having said that, I would actually like to make a motion to approve the recommendation for regarding the text amendment for child daycare centers as a special use in C3 Central Commercial Zoning District.
Seconded.
Second. All in favor? But that motion does not pass based on the quorum we have here.
Do I need to do a voice vote?
You don't need to. It might be helpful. I don't know if there's anyone who wanted
to. You want to?
Sure, yeah. Okay. She can...
We voted to allow her to attend so she can make the motions. And
but yeah. That's a good question as far as being in decorum. Totally. Mm-hmm.
But trying to get me out, I see what's happening here.
You notice how I whispered that.
I know. I can see you.
All right. So if you could put that, both Katie and Tyler proposed recommending, and we'll go from there.
Okay.
Right?
Motion and a second. So you're voting yes?
I'm
voting,
yeah.
To approve. Provide the recommendation.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, again, I motion to approve the recommendation to recommend
the text amendment
mm-hmm. Katie
seconded
it. We didn't have any other in favor.
Kyler. I'm sorry. Preston.
Yeah, no.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Raj, no. And Bob, no.
Well, nope. It just, they weren't in favor.
No.
It doesn't, yeah.
Not in favor.
No, yeah.
Yeah, I'll capture it. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Item number five. And then that'll go to the board. They have our input. They have the zoning puts input. They'll take all of that. They'll make their recommendation.
Correct.
Yeah, and I think the Board of Trustees should have a good record.
Yep.
What happened today, it's not, you know.
Yeah, I agree. No, I think it was good debate. And I think it's really what we're tasked to do is have these conversations and make our recommendation to the board. And I think we've done that. And, we're going to disagree on some things, which I love. No one wants an echo chamber. So I'm really happy that took place. And the board's going to do, chances are the board's going to do what the board's going to do and what they think's right. But we gave them our recommendation. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate all the input. Item number five, discussion and possible recommendation regarding the revised draft commercial zoning district amendments. No, we had some of this in the packet as well. We've been going over this. The zoning, can you, Jessica, just because we have been gone, and it's unfortunate, we've not been able to always get a quorum, which is something that we probably need to deal with as a board a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Because I don't like, I mean, I want to meet every month. And if we can't meet, there's going to be, and I guess, let me just shelve number five for a second, just make a statement. If we can't meet every month, and there's going to be people traveling, and I know both Tim and Walt's work requires them to travel. Mine, does very infrequently, but it happens. But we need to make sure that we're able to have a quorum to have these meetings, because if we're not able to meet on a regular basis, we're not able to do our job effectively. So I just want to put that in there.
I think there was a certain amount of people that were not under the weather for the last couple meetings.
Yeah.
We couldn't get a quorum.
Yeah.
Where we'd click in and say who can make it, and then there just wasn't enough people to. Mm-hmm.
I know. But and that was the case for the last meeting, but it has been, we've had a few other meetings. Actually, that goes, quite frankly, to Matt and Jessica as well. I think they might be off. We need to make sure that we're organizing these and getting them done, and we're having the meetings, and that, whatever it takes to talk to the committee members. I'm sorry, but we need to have those conversations to make sure that, and if we need to switch things around or do other things, then we need to, but we need to, our job is to be here. And if we can't be on the committee, then don't. Mm-hmm. And that's not that, look, these, that's not a Tim and Walt. We've all been.
Not to take us off topic, are we wedded to Wednesdays in the middle of the week, and Thursday toward the end of the week?
It
may be better for people to travel.
Could you send out a Google Doc for like preferred days? Because sometimes, yeah, maybe the book ends a Monday.
I think Monday's tough because of trustee meetings. So I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Mondays are difficult.
Maybe later in the week.
Yeah.
Wednesday's right in the middle of the week.
Yeah, if someone is traveling, they're probably gone on Wednesday.
Committee of the Whole's on Wednesdays.
No, Mondays if it's requested. Yeah, it's the third week, I believe.
I think it's a good idea to revisit it. If it's if it's going to continue to be an issue. If people think Wednesday's good, this is an anomaly, but it hasn't been. We've, mm-hmm. as one of the speakers
December
mentioned,
didn't work. Yeah.
We've missed too many boards as a committee.
I have one recommendation. if when the meeting goes, announcement goes out and there's a meeting scheduled, if it could come in as a calendar invite, because
totally.
I agree.
If it's not an Outlook,
if it's not an Outlook, then I just.
Yeah. Jessica, is it possible to do that? It's sort of weird because of how they have to like send it out maybe, but if you could.
So we send it out as an email to all of you with the board packet attached.
Yeah.
Usually it's Matt or I saying, hey, the meeting is supposed to be the first Wednesday. Is everybody available? And then we ask for input.
Yeah. Yeah, what he's saying that
we certainly could send it as a calendar invite.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It has happened with me where I've said yes, I can make it, and then I just blow it off 100%. Because I don't see it in my calendar.
100%. No, that would be great. And if you, that way you can include what happens with other boards I'm on, you can include any of the documents and things of that nature. Yeah, yeah, that would probably I think that's a great, you're right. Things pile up and life gets away. Mm-hmm. I usually try to be here because sometimes it's late. I'm like, oh, we read those minutes. Good. And I hope that does sort of placate one of those concerns. Okay, back to five, discussion and possible recommendation regarding revised draft commercial zoning district amendments. So we've been through this sometime. Can you tell me exactly where we are in terms of the process here?
Matt, are you still around?
Yes, I can. So yes, you may remember back last year, the EDC recommended that the village board kind of start the process rolling on making the changes to the commercial zoning regulations specific to Madison Street and North Avenue, which are C1 and C2 districts. After some other discussion, we thought it was a good opportunity to revisit the C3 district that we've spent some time talking about tonight, and also the ORIC district, which is effectively the town center area and kind of east of Lathrop. The changes that were made to the or being recommended for the C3 and the ORIC districts kind of reflect what was discussed for the C1 and C2 districts, similar increases in height to allow effectively an extra floor for C3, and also to kind of make more uniform the parking regulations and other changes. So tomorrow night, the Zoning Board of Appeals will open up the public hearing to begin discussing these amendments. John Housiel is not able to attend tonight. He will be there tomorrow night to present the changes. And due to the amount of changes that are being proposed, there will probably be a few ZBA meetings where this will be discussed before coming to the village board. So
Matt, did the village board already approve the C1 and C2, or did the zoning already approve it and it didn't go in front of the board because they want to include C3 in the town center?
Sorry for not being clear. No, there have not been any of these changes have not been formally approved by the village board. What was approved was the village board saw this document that was attached to the packet, the kind of John Housiel memo that has the draft chapter 12. They saw that including all four of the districts and said, we want this to go before the Zoning Board of Appeals to come back to us. So they approved that, had some brief discussions, some questions on what the EDC conversations were, and they initiated that process. So the zoning board will consider those changes beginning tomorrow.
The changes in they've already considered the changes in C1 and C2. I'm sorry.
They have not. The Zoning Board of Appeals has not discussed anything that the EDC has recommended yet.
Sick and I'm hammering. Yeah, I just want to make sure.
You're good.
And does the CBA work the same way we do, and that you're just making a recommendation to the Board of Trustees, or they are?
Good question.
They do, but they are, frankly, a little more formal of a process. So there's a public hearing process where the village and its representatives will provide evidence or testimony, and then residents are able, or any other stakeholders can provide their input, and that often takes for these text amendments two meetings or so, and then they'll end up making a recommendation to the village board in a similar way to the EDC, but their process will be there was a public notice required that was mentioned earlier, and there's some other kind of more details to it, but effectively the same. So ultimately the Zoning Board of Appeals will make a recommendation on these proposals, and the village board will decide whether to accept or override that recommendation.
Anyone have any specific... So we're being asked to recommend including the essentially it seems like we're being asked. Sorry. I'm going back to the number four. So we're Okay. Anyone have any thoughts on, and it seems like we're kind of being asked to, if we agree that the C3 district and the town hall should be included, because we've already given our recommendation for C1 and C2 changes.
That's correct.
Okay. Anyone have any comments on whether or not we should recommend approval also for the change in the C3 in the town hall district? Basically, essentially saying some of the changes that we're looking to do on Madison and North Avenue, that we'd also look to do them on Lake Street as well.
Yes.
Which is what, the 50-foot
height? Well, it's in the packet. I don't remember.
65-foot height.
Yeah.
1,000 square foot, from 2,800 feet to 1,000 square feet, and 1.5 parking spaces per unit.
So is that closer to Madison or North Avenue? That's Madison's. Because Madison and North Avenue actually have different height restrictions.
It would be closer to North Avenue currently, like, the height maximum on North Avenue, which is C1, is 50 feet, and that's the same as it is in the C3 and ORIC district. Madison Street has been lower and will continue to be lower as proposed, than the other districts.
Right off the bat, I do see a difference between North Avenue and Madison and Lake Street. I do just see them to be different entities. I think there are certainly people that live right on North Avenue. No doubt there has been lots been done there to sort of keep that relatively separate, but that's definitely a more of a commercial area. The commercial seeps back a little bit more with Pete's and some of the, you know, the schools and whatnot. Whereas Madison, in my mind, Lake Street are more residential areas with commercial little streets there. I mean, it's more, we need to be careful as much as we can in my mind, at least, with the, you know, that's more of a residential area. So, you know, I think it makes sense to include personally changes to go along with. Right now it's already at the C3 is already meeting the height maximum. I mean, if it's already at 50 feet for C3 in the ORIC, that's what the proposed height maximum is for Madison.
If my memory serves me right, on Housel's recommendation, and please correct me, that the ORIC, all districts, would go to 65 feet height.
Right.
That the density level would be from 2,800 feet for a physical unit to 1,000 feet. And 1.5 parking spaces per unit.
Right.
And this was Housel's recommendation, not just because he wanted to make it. He researched the adjacent communities and his knowledge of the area in general and said, this is what the rest of the world is doing. And River Forest stands with a much more restrictive requirements.
Yep.
And so it's a question of, do we believe Housel?
No, I completely do, and I do agree with his recommendations. My only question is, when we're talking about Lake Street, is Lake Street more like I'm not referring to the 1,000 square feet or the parking spaces, but when I'm thinking of Lake Street, I'm thinking of Lake Street as more of a residential with some commercial in it, and the same as Madison. What that's being asked here is that we take the height to where on Lake Street where we would on Madison. I mean, on North Avenue. I think that's a different, in my mind, it's a different beast, North Avenue. I think Lake Street's probably a little bit closer aligned to Madison.
Well, you're saying that because along North Avenue, you see the high-rise condos.
Right.
Kind of.
And there's more. It's
pooled. I mean, it's one next to another.
Yeah. I mean, there's doing development over there, but it's, look, I mean, North Avenue is a thoroughfare compared to Lake Street and Madison. We don't want North Avenue heights, I wouldn't think, you know, to a degree, on Madison Lake.
But this says the proposed height recommendation for Madison is 50 feet.
Right.
Bob just said it was 65.
No, that's North. Yeah, so that's North. Okay. So North Avenue is going to 65.
It's not uniform.
It's not. And what they're saying is instead of taking Lake Street to where Madison would be at 50, that they would propose going to 65. I agree with Housel's points that, you know, we need to change the zoning. I do. But I don't understand why you would move Lake Street to North Avenue, what we think is appropriate for North Avenue, and not Madison. To me, it seems like, if anything, it's less active than Madison in terms of, you know, commercial use.
And we have a C2 district on Lake Street, according to the map, and that's going to be 50 feet, and then you're going to go into the C3, and that's going to be 65 feet.
Is there a C2 on Lake as
well? There's a couple pockets in town that
there is.
Yes.
Okay.
In the front, forward.
The current is 30 feet on Lake Street.
Current is 50 feet.
On C2. Currently, it's 30 feet.
But
C3. And we had the exception with the Lake and Lathrop property,
right,
which went from 6 stories down to 5 stories, so now nothing.
But the C3, most of Lake Street is C3, and there's pockets of C2.
Yes.
So the majority of Lake Street is currently at 50 feet.
That is correct.
Okay, yeah. But there are parts that are the 30 feet with the C2.
My guess for what the John's thinking for that C3 along Lake Street is that currently has a lot more kind of our taller buildings in town currently, just for the condo buildings and things, and it's also kind of buffered by the tracks on one side. I think that would be kind of the rationale for that. I know some of the frontage immediately on Lake Street are kind of shorter buildings, but
that's a good point.
I think that, and this doesn't necessarily guarantee that it's all going to be that, right? This is just enabling a maximum in the event that someone wants to come through it, and it would still be subject to all the plan development, the robust plan development approvals that would need to come through. I just want to make that point.
And I understand that both Park and Lake and Lake and Lathrop are probably our two of our prime development spots. And so that anything we would do would most likely, yeah, that's probably the reason too, because we want to do this zoning so that we don't have to do future amendments. And if we do a 50-foot zoning restriction on Lake Street, chances are someone's going to come back and ask for an amendment to that in order to make a profitable and workable development on one of those sites.
Yeah, or as importantly, maybe not proceed because they see 50 at the
bottom. Exactly. And they don't want to have us
urge people.
And part of the reason we're doing the zoning, for those who don't know, is because it's very difficult to get developers to come in and do developments that we as a community want and, you know, would like under the current restrictions, with the idea that no worries, we can change the zoning. We want to make it clear and upfront what can be done on those sites. So,
well, in any case, the properties we're talking about will all be a planned development no matter what, just because of their physical size, at which point developer X then comes in with requests to modify whatever.
But we're hoping to go out to the market on those properties and say, here's a property, here's what it's zoned, and you can build XYZ here. We need to use the current zoning, you know, the zoning that they're looking to approve in order to do that. I mean, we can't go out and say, here's a plan development, you know, you can only go up 50, you can go up 65, but zoning's 50. You know what I mean? So I'm assuming that's what House Hill was thinking. I'm assuming that we could talk with John later, but that's what I'm assuming. So,
yeah, well, that's exactly.
Yeah. Right.
He said that is exactly what other communities around here have, and that, you know, we are an exception to the rule.
Right. I mean, so
the adjacent rules. So let's put it.
No, and I agree. So the question is, though, if it's, you know, do we want, I mean, it's just difficult because on these areas, we're probably going to need to go up 65 feet on these two locations right here, on Lake and Park and Lake and Lathrop, in order to get a development that would probably make sense to a developer and that we want, not just some cookie cutter crap that they would put up cheaply. So if we don't recommend approval, and they might do whatever they're going to do, and we say we want to keep it at 50 feet, they're not going to be able to get those planned developments there without some zoning amendments. However, if we throw 65 feet across Lake Street, is that really what we're looking for? Are we looking for Lake Street to be more aligned with North Avenue and their building heights there, or Madison? I mean, I would argue Madison, but at the same time, I'm very realistic that if they do 50 feet, then it's going to put a real damper in the ability to develop Lake and Lathrop and Lake and Park. Does that make sense?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if there's not ways to identify those two locations as perhaps C1 commercial districts that would allow for future development. Because I think people are generally, and again, everyone has different ideas, but I think people for the most part like the idea of having, I won't even say it, but the village does want to develop that Lake and Lathrop, and they do want to develop Lake and Park. And it would be nice to have those as bookends to a commercial district that would expand from Park to Lathrop on Lake Street. I mean, I think that's been a goal of the villages. I don't want to deter that, but I don't know if I'm comfortable myself thinking that we should go 65 feet on Lake Street across the board. Any other?
So last time, and I went back and I listened to the meeting because I'm cool like that, we didn't actually make a recommendation. Our recommendation was to share Haziel Levine's recommendations without commentary from us. So as a potential path forward, we could say the same thing again I guess they've already had this information and maybe they're spitting it back to us and saying that's not enough. But I believe that's what we did last time, was just saying, here's additional information. Continue to consider it as you have go through these many, many steps. And I just wanted to remind everyone and anyone watching the video later as well that there is a FAQ on this entire process on the village website next to our commission, because it is complex.
Katie, you're the best. All over the village website. It's great to have that. She's like the person in the background. She's the guy at the desk. Well, what about this? Does other people have comments on it? If not, I'm going to make a motion.
Well, I like the idea of trying to explore if we can carve out those properties.
Yeah, that was going to be my motion. My motion would be, and if someone could help me with the language, I'm horrible at motions, but I would like to make a motion that we recommend the building height proposals for C1 and C2 with the idea. See, I'm more for emotions, but I'd like to make a motion that concerning C3, that we carve out the Lake and Park development area and the Lake and Lathrop development area as possible C1 commercial districts, with the rest of C3 remaining under the C2 or 50 feet height, proposed maximum height requirements. All in favor?
No, Wait a minute. Ridiculous. I want to make certain I know what I'm voting on.
No, I know.
I'm a little confused.
It's a bit of a run on.
If you just talk C1, you're saying for a height 65 feet. Are we in agreement on that?
Yes.
C2, are we in agreement on 50 feet?
Yes.
On C3, Housel's proposal was 65.
I would propose that we do 50, but also allow for a carve out of Lake and Lathrop and Park. I guess my proposal would be to perhaps move Lake and Lathrop and Park and Lake development sites into the C1 zoning district. That might be the easiest way to describe it. And not propose any change for the C3 or the ORIC to go to 65 feet, but would recommend approval of the other changes.
So other
basically ones. Excluding Madison's.
No. So everything, well, I mean, again.
From the 65.
Yeah. Yeah, and Lake Street outside of Lake and Lathrop and Park and Lake, that would allow for development to take place on those two properties, which I think we all, for the most part, we think is, as a development committee, something that we'd like to do, but not the rest of the C3 district or the ORIC.
So excluding the parts you've already named to, let's just say, move to the C1 district, you want C3, you want to...
Well, my proposal would be...
Your proposal would be to not accept the proposal of Housiel for C3. So to maintain C3 at 50 feet?
Well, but the problem is that we'd want to approve it for the other items. I mean,
I know, and I understand that part. I'm just trying to explain what we're trying to do. So like accepting... So accepting C1 recommendation, accepting C2 recommendation, and technically accepting C3 recommendation. Put
no.
a pin in that. Well,
no.
Then having these two properties moved into the C1.
Yeah, but under the C3 recommendation, we're looking to go from 50 feet to 65 feet.
Yes.
I think under the recommendation, the proposal I'm making, that we would have C3 remain at 50 feet, except for Wake and Lathrop and Park and Wake, which we identified as development areas.
So,
because we don't want to preclude ourselves from being able to develop there. And we need to be able to go out to the development community and say, here's the zoning requirements. You know, here's what you can work under. It's the whole reason we're doing all this zoning changes to begin with. So if we don't do that, it would be pointless. But.
Well, then how about the ORIC?
Right.
Well, that's everything.
Right. But at 50 or 65.
I mean, I.
So we're modifying Housiel's recommendation. And Jessica is going to, before she's going to explain this all again, so then a motion can be made.
Yeah. I don't know how best to.
If I can
see why the reason for the run on.
Yeah.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Well, what are we trying to.
So, if I could, before you go, Jessica, if I can make, sorry, someone else.
Go ahead, Matt.
It's a shame John's not here. I think it would help because I know that there might be concerns about making such a specific carve out in relation to a text amendment like this. For example, the Lake and Park development site. What parcels is that?
Yeah, what does it mean?
Zone that. So I, and the same with Lake and Lathrop that had parcels that were added on, over time. So if I could recommend that, maybe the direction from the commission is for, staff and Housiel Levine to prepare options for preparing options for other options for height restrictions on the C3 district or along the Lake Street districts of C3 and ORIC to see if it's even worth carving it out or just relying on the eventual applicants to come forward and apply for those allowances to be higher, which is currently what would be. I know we're trying to avoid that, but.
Yeah, totally. That would not be ideal. But that sounds good to me otherwise to have you guys come back. But I mean, aren't they going to be.
The ZBA is going to be looking at it tomorrow night.
Yeah.
I thought the board was kind of anxious to get going.
I know. Right.
They
and,
are.
And so are we. Yeah. I mean, I want the zoning to pass, but I think we all do. It's just. We should make sure we're doing it right. As you said, these are things that will probably last.
If you
echo
go
throughout.
Back to Housiel to re-propose this another month, just like that.
But what about if we...
Right. I think that that's a fair concern, and it is true that the everyone is anxious to proceed with it. Having watched our ZBA deliberate on other text amendments that were much more minor, there are some, there's a lot of discussions about changing certain language in it. So I don't think it necessarily has to stop that process from proceeding. I'm due to talk with John before our meeting tomorrow anyways, and kind of so we can prepare some options and have the ZBA weigh in on it also. So similar to what we talked about with the item earlier tonight, we can have this EDC feedback concerns about the height along Lake Street, and we can bring that to the ZBA for their discussion as well.
So as the Economic Development Committee, though, do we want to make any position in terms of how we think the decision should be made?
And maybe in the interest of simplifying it and not doing what government does, which is
too late, right?
Let's assume we accept the Housel proposal with a strong caveat that we feel these two sections in C2 should be at the 50-foot height, period.
Or this, those two sections should be at the 65-foot height. Yeah, I guess either way, but...
I mean, well, if you accept the proposal, it's at 65.
Right.
So, I mean, we can delay it. That's fine. But I don't think we're moving ahead. ZBA already accepted this?
No.
No. Mm-mm. They're talking about tomorrow and they'll be talking about it afterwards. I mean, I guess it's fine if you want to say that we, that the EDC fully understands the need to go to 65 feet in some cases on C3, but does not recommend a full 65 foot, or I don't mean, again, I'm not speaking for the committee yet.
We just have to put it so they can understand what we're talking about.
Yeah, right. Someone translate it for us in the English.
I think the intention also is, Matt, you'll be, Matt and I will be at the meeting tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And Matt does a, you'll be presenting at the hearing, correct?
Correct. I think.
So he can try to represent.
Yeah, but it should be in the minutes, you know, right? Mm. No?
Well, your minutes wouldn't be approved yet to be made public.
Right.
So.
I think what could be done is similar to what Katie mentioned. It could be the EDC recommends, I guess,
can we say
that the ZBA, the ZBA consider the Housel recommendations, but also shares
concern
about the height restrictions in C3 and ORIC districts.
That makes the most sense.
Yeah, it's fine with me.
Mm-hmm. Because otherwise we're juggling it all up and
yeah,
they'll and probably say, what do they mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's okay there.
The recommendation?
Yeah.
Well, then we, okay. I hate to make a.
Don't, you're going to screw it
I
up,
aren't you? What we
just, yeah, what Matt just said.
What we just discussed.
You want to read it? I typed it.
But yeah, I second it.
Okay. Who motioned? Who first?
I
okay.
Recommended.
You recommended what Matt said?
Yes.
And you, Chairman, you second it. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Right.
And I would just like in the comments, I do not think, I think it's already been added in the minutes, but that there should be a blanket 65 feet across the entire C3 and ORIC.
I'll clarify with you afterwards, but I believe I've captured what you're trying to say.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
Oh, as a point of clarification, if we're accepting the Housel, then we're talking about 1,000 square feet and the 1.5 parking, correct?
Yes.
Everybody shaking their head? Yes?
Correct.
Okay.
What Matt said wasn't accepting. It was passing on.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
All right. And I'm happy to talk. Go ahead. I mean, it's
Point of order, if I may, Chairman.
Yeah, I don't.
Do we know what you moved, seconded, and voted on?
So I apologize. Oh, we don't have. Yeah, okay.
I can read it again.
Sure.
So a motion was made by Chairman Commissioner Graham and seconded by Chairman Brown to recommend the Zoning Board of Appeals consider the Housiel recommendations, but also shares concerns regarding the height restrictions for the C3 and ORIC districts.
Okay, development updates, number 6. Matt, you're out. Is there anything to update on? Well, a lot of it's on hold now with the zoning before we go out. But is there anything that we've been doing? Have we talked to different brokers and things of that nature? For once, we do have the zoning's change, or is that putting the cart before the horse, as it were? Just curious if there's anything been done over the last couple of months. We had a plan in place that we were hoping to start putting some things together. I think Housiel said Walt said he was going to provide a form that would look good. I'm just curious. Or anything on Madison as well with the old Lutheran homes? Any updates at all?
Excuse me. Yes, the staff has had some conversations with and inquiries received from our posting in regards to Madison Street, but kind of what information has been shared is that a lot of that's on hold for the moment. But we have been kind of working on those drafts for the RFP and the broker as well. I will say Lake and Lathrop, an update I can share is that there's the court appointed receiver that's there to handle the as the foreclosure proceedings are happening, has hired a broker to market the site, and they've received a fair amount of interest and are looking by around the end of the month or early February to have a final call for bids to kind of move that process along for someone to acquire that site. There's still the legal side, and Sedgwick and company is still fighting that foreclosure from proceeding, but there is a fair amount of interest, and the receiver and Wind Trust are still kind of moving along with the idea of finding a new owner for that site.
Matt, weren't the receiver wasn't the receiver responsible for upgrading the fencing around the property in the interim? I seem to recall that several months ago.
Yes, you are right. There has been some discussions about that. They did improve the sidewalk around the site and provided some security on the site. The condition of the fence is a ongoing discussion between the village and them. It is in a sturdier place than it was when it started, but I think we can all agree it does not look appealing. So we're still trying to have them see it our way, I guess I would say.
What kind of pressure can we put on them to beautify the situation? What do we have any leverage in this?
I mean, if there was anything that we felt was an actual code violation or anything like that, we could act on it. That's not really the case at this time. It's just been kind of more public pressure, kind of guilting to be a good partner with the village. This is obviously a site that's provided a lot of headaches to the residents, and we want the receiver and Wind Trust. We want everyone to look good out
there. They're trying to save money, and there's been some offers on the property that would have to buy a property in foreclosure with liens all over it. That's good, I guess.
It's more than one.
Yeah. When did you say the date was for the Lake and Lake? I mean, that they were going to be.
It was towards the end of this month or early February. Okay. I don't remember the exact date, but it's
all right.
Not far off.
Okay. Well, good. If we could make sure that that's a. Maybe a topic for discussion for the next meeting, so that see what updates are there. That would be great. In terms of the rest, you know, I know we need to talk with get the zoning approved, but you know, I think it makes sense, you know, to start talking with brokers on, you know, who's going to be the right fit. I mean, this could be a long process for the village. So, I mean, my recommendation at least would be that the village board consider talking to brokers, or we can, about the development, the possible development sites. It seems like we've talked about that a couple of times, but it doesn't seem like anything's been done. Unless I'm wrong, have we been talking to brokers?
Right, we have had a few. We have had a few conversations, but we'll make that a renewed priority.
Yeah, I mean, and not, you know, there's two types of conversations that you have with you. There's the people that just lob in like, you know, I'm interested in this property. You know, I'm not sure that's where we want to be. You know, we want to have a direct approach where we have a broker that understands the vision, that understands the needs of the community, that's going to bring in developers that are going to be the right fit for our community. We all know that we have. River Forest is a great town. I think we all have somewhat an idea of what we want, and we want to make sure that the broker has some idea to that as well. We're not looking to do exactly what they did at Oak Park. You know what I mean? So it's going to take a while to find the right broker. So I would recommend that we start having those conversations, especially because if the zoning is going to be hopefully approved in the next few months, you know, that's how long it's going to take to find the right broker. And I don't think we want to wait too far. It would be great if come springtime, we have new zoning in place and we have, you know, RFPs that are out there for new developments. We have a broker in place. We have all these things so that, you know, as rates start to come down and development spurt again, we're in a position where we might be able to be ahead of the curve there. We're doing a lot of the right things. I don't want to drop the ball when it comes to something like that.
Matt, in regards to Madison Street, the funds in the TIF there are somewhat limited in the event there was any additional land acquisitions in the near future. Is that correct? And if there was some ability to acquire some adjacent property, that would come out of the general fund temporarily? Just a clarification.
Yeah, that would likely be the case if that were to happen again, just based on what the cost would be. Yes.
Okay. I don't think there's any other development updates or any other questions from the committee. Katie, anything that the website of ours says about the updates that we should know about?
I did put it in the chat if anyone would like to reference what we are called to do. No, nothing else for me.
So the item number 7, I mean, this one's always it's been since we lost our chamber representative, we haven't really had communication directly with the chamber. I know that there is a new president over there. Seemed like a good guy. Met with him.
A new guy.
Yeah. Met with him almost a year ago about a different subject. But is it possible that we could ask him again, or a representative from the chamber of OPRF to join these, or at least in proxy or something? So this is a huge part of our ask, and it's difficult to do without the chamber, because they really are the heart of the retail and business community. They're the voice for the community, and without them, it's sort of difficult to do this.
Well, I'm sure Jessica will contact them and encourage a representative to attend our meetings.
That'd be great. And if you want, you know, copy me or someone, or, you know, whoever you need to copy, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. There's certainly a benefit. I would think the benefit would be for the chamber, to be quite honest. Like, you know, we want to hear from them so that we can help the business community in the area. You know, they're the voice. So, mm-hmm. But he's probably just figuring things out. So give him some.
I'm sure. But yeah, we can certainly inquire again.
That'd be great. And, you know, again, if you need to keep me on me, I'm good at like poking at people every once in a while if they're not moving. Any other business? Any other thoughts by the committee? All right. Appreciate all the discussion.
I move that we conclude the meeting.
I'll second that.
Do we even need to... All in favor?
Hi.
7:37. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.